Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz. Fight prediction. Dun, dun, dun. Hey guys, Fight Junkie here. As usual, before we jump into this next episode, I want to remind you guys, you can hit me up on Twitter at FightJunkie.com. Follow me on Parler at FightJunkie. Listen to me on Anchor, Spotify, Google, Apple, Amazon. Basically, anywhere you can find a podcast, I'll be there. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel. Oh, wait. Hold up. Scratch that. YouTube deleted my channel. Let me think. Okay. I got it. You can also subscribe to the Rumble channel. Rumble.com/FightJunkie. Want live stream? Twitch.tv/RealFightJunkie. Jake Paul, 6 wins, 1 loss. Of those 6 wins, 4 by knockout. Nate Diaz, 0 wins, 0 losses. As a boxer, pro debut. Currently, you have Paul as a minus 430 favorite. Diaz comes back at plus 290. We'll go, won't go, 10 full rounds. Won't go, minus 250. We'll go, plus 185. Paul wins inside, minus 120. Paul wins by decision, plus 290. Diaz wins inside, 6-1. Diaz wins by decision, 7-1. Fight is a draw, 14-1. Interesting fight because Paul is coming off his loss, first loss to Tommy Fury. He goes right back to an MMA fighter. An MMA fighter who doesn't have a lot of power and is going to be actually much smaller than him in the ring. I know it's 185-pound catchweight. I guess you call it cruiserweight, but it's catchweight. But Diaz in his MMA career was maxed out at 170. So right there, you see a 15-pound difference. I think Paul could easily be 200 pounds. Depending on what they got going on with the contract, rehydration clause or whatever, Paul should be the much bigger guy in the ring. But Diaz isn't known as a puncher even in his MMA career. He's a sturdy guy, an aggressive guy. He'll throw a lot of punches. He has good cardio, but his submissions were better than his overall punching power. Obviously, he's not going to be able to submit Jake Paul in a boxing match, so that takes a big weapon of his away. Plus, he's getting up there in age. He's had a lot of wars. He busts up. He gets hit a lot, and he's slow. So there's a reason that Jake Paul went to an MMA fighter, and specifically Nate Diaz. He does have a name. He does do well with the promotion. He is going to put butts in the seat. But I think the Paul team and Paul specifically himself just think that he's much bigger than Nate. And so over the course of the fight, that his punching power and Diaz's inability to move his head and get out of the way obviously will be a combination that he won't be able to overcome. Now, this fight is 10 rounds. It was originally scheduled for 8. I guess then the Diaz camp wanted 10. And then so Paul said, fine, we'll go 10. And then afterwards, Diaz said, I was fine with 8. Nevertheless, obviously, the more rounds it goes, the better for Diaz. Because if you've watched any of Jake Paul's fights, he does tend to fade. He carries a lot of muscle. I know some people are saying he's on a little zum. But I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say that his cardio isn't the best. And his last fight against Tommy Fury, if you were to watch that, I actually think he regressed in that fight even prior to any of his other fights. Now people will say, well, that's because he was actually facing a boxer, and when he got in there with somebody with any ability at all, which I don't think most people think Tommy Fury has a lot of ability, and I think that showed in the fight against Paul. But anybody with some type of boxing ability, he lost. And that's really not an argument that you can raise a lot of stink about, because in reality he fought a boxer, a legitimate boxer who has legitimate boxing wins, even against really terrible competition, and he just stunk up the place. Now, he switched his team out after that. I think he's working with Mosley. He had worked with Mosley early in his career, and then he switched for some reason, and now I think he's back to Mosley. The switch was needed. I never really thought highly of his corner to begin with. I don't think they really improved him much at all. I think it was more of a bunch of yes men that were riding the coattails and getting paid off Jake Paul. You could see that in the Tommy Fury fight. He just did not progress. The things that he should know, having 6-7 fights he just wasn't able to implement against Tommy Fury. And even though he knocked Fury down, like, you could just see, like, there were times where he looked lost in there, and he shouldn't have looked lost, because at this stage of the game and at Fury's level, like, and it was a close fight, don't get me wrong, it was a close fight, and if you wanted to stretch your imagination and say Paul could win, okay, but it was a close enough fight, but Fury is at that type of level where Paul should have been able to do more than what he did, unless you think Jake Paul has reached his ceiling. You're not going to be able to tell from this fight, because if he goes out and he weight washes Diaz, then people are going to say Diaz is old, he's an MMA fighter, he doesn't have any power, he's smaller than Jake Paul, and all of those things will be accurate. And if he struggles with Diaz and doesn't get him out of there, then you're going to be like, okay, so he lost to Tommy Fury, and this would be even if Jake Paul wins, but if he wins a competitive fight, if it goes 10, if he doesn't flatline Diaz, if he struggles, if he gasses, if he goes back into his octopus mode where he's trying to just get through the rounds, people are going to say, wait a minute. So you lost to Tommy Fury, then you go back to an aging MMA fighter who was tailor-made for you stylistically, and then you struggled here, there, and everywhere. That's going to be a problem for him. So in my opinion, for Jake Paul to keep riding this hype train, even though he lost to Tommy Fury, he's still going to put butt in the seats. People are still going to watch. He's still a good promoter. He's still doing good things in boxing. I think that he needs to do something spectacular against Diaz. I think he needs to stop him. I don't know if it has to be a Tyron Woodley stoppage, but I do think he needs to stop him. I think there's an opportunity there because Diaz cuts as well, and this isn't MMA. And it doesn't matter if it's the same commission. There's a huge double standard in boxing and MMA where they will allow MMA fighters to fight with an eye hanging out, and a boxer gets a bloody nose and they stop the fight. So that's very possible that Paul gets some type of stoppage on cuts. Diaz gets to bitch and moan about the fight being stopped because he was cut, and Paul rides off into the sunset and looks for another opponent going forward. And it doesn't look like it's going to be Tommy Fury, because Fury is supposed to be matching up with KSI, so maybe the winner of that gets Jake Paul, and then Jake Paul's right back in the mix. The only way that Jake Paul can really screw this up if he looks terrible against Nate Diaz, because as you can see, the line is currently, like I said, up at the highest is right around minus 430, the lowest is 3-1. Books open them anywhere between like 2 to 270. So people are still betting on Jake Paul, and that's because of the stylistic matchup here. And I understand it, because the only way that you would think that Diaz would be able to win this is to outwork Paul and get Paul tired, where he's able to just throw combination punches and Paul is going to not be able to answer back with his power punches, and he's going to have to hold, and those are going to be the rounds that Nate Diaz can win. The problem is Nate's got to get through those early rounds to be able to implement that, because he's going to try that from round 1 to 10. He's going to try to come out, be in the face of Paul, throw a lot of combination punches and wear Paul down. In fact, and I'm not joking here, this may sound hilarious, but Paul could actually wear himself out punching Nate Diaz in the face. If Paul isn't able to put Diaz down, wobble him, hurt him, get the officials involved, stop him in some way early. And when I say early, I say probably the first 4, maybe 5 rounds, because in my opinion, Paul tends to fade right around the 6 mark. And if you look at most of his fights, they're 8 rounds. So he struggles there around 7 and 8. 6, 7, and 8 is kind of iffy for him. So say the first 4 or 5 rounds, if he doesn't do what we think, what the books and everyone expect him to do, then, and Diaz is still standing there, then he'll probably be gassed. Diaz isn't a big puncher, and that's the saving grace here, because I think even if Jake Paul is tired, and you saw against Tommy Fury, and in his past fights again, like, he will hold. He's not afraid to hold to get through the round. That even though Diaz would be throwing combinations and starting to come on, Paul would immediately interrupt those by holding him. They'd have to break, reset, and Diaz would have to do it again. But Diaz would be winning those rounds. At that case, maybe Jake Paul's up enough 4 or 5 rounds that even if he loses the last few rounds, he's able to eke out a points win. That's why the 10 rounds could play an important role for Nate Diaz. It certainly favors Diaz. Like, a 10-round fight is certainly in favor of him, no question about it, over 8 rounds. So it's interesting. I don't expect Diaz to win, but again, Paul didn't show a lot in the Fury fight. I think they handpicked Diaz for a reason. I think stylistically it matches up perfectly for Paul, but he's got to go out and perform. If you're looking at Diaz for the upset, then I think you should probably take him via points. I don't think even a tired, faded, exhausted Paul would get knocked out by Diaz, especially in a boxing ring with boxing gloves where he can clinch Nate and have to be reset, separated, and Diaz would have to go back and do it again and again and again. He could lose those rounds. He could be flopping around. We've seen this before with Jake Paul, where he doesn't necessarily look polished. He doesn't necessarily look good, but he's able to ride out that storm, and I think that's what he'd be looking to do. He's got to manage his gas tank in this fight because Diaz is going to be easy to hit. And unless you can see where he hits Diaz and just folds him, or he hits him and he's doing a Spence, if you guys watch the Spence Crawford, and he's doing a Spence where you can see every single shot is visibly hurting Diaz, he has to be careful because it's going to be like a kid in a candy store, the way that he's going to be able to tee up Nate Diaz in that boxing ring. But it could be fool's gold, because if he plays around and tries to get him out of there and lets it all go, puts the foot to the gas, the pedal to the metal, and empties the tank and can't get him out, now he has to be careful because Diaz will be in his face like the Terminator for as long as he's able to stand. So even though you expect Paul to win, even though he's the favorite to win, even though he should be able to knock him out, he's actually favored to win by knockout, he starts to be smart in the way he approaches it. If he's able to touch Nate Diaz as easy as I think he is, and he's able to get to him over and over, he should just stick to that. Stick to that with that jab. Launch those long right hands that he loves to launch. That's his power hand for sure. And then slowly chop Nate down and then either bust him up or get him in the third, the fourth round where he's taking a lot of abuse and somebody steps in. But if he just comes out, wobbles Nate, or finds it so easy to hit him, and then he just unleashes a whole bunch of combinations. Maybe he puts Nate down a couple of times, but he doesn't finish him. You got to worry about the gas tank every single time Jake Paul fights. Something to look forward to. It would actually make the fight more interesting, to be honest with you, if that does happen and he gasses, because then Nate's going to come on and people are going to be like, oh no, Nate's not tired and Fury is gassed. That would be absolutely hilarious, to be honest with you. I mean, not if you bet Jake Paul, you'd be crapping yourself. But this is a Jake Paul fight, so you shouldn't go balls of the walls with the amount that you're going to bet anyway. Even though everything on paper favors him, and he should come out the winner against Nate Diaz. That's it for this episode of Fight Junkie. I will sock it to you tomorrow, baby. Fight Junkie out.